Well, the new year has well and truly begun, and maybe over the holidays you went through your wardrobe, had a little look through. I know I did. And every time I'd pull something out that I hadn't worn for ages, I'd get a really nice compliment from people as if I'd just been buying new clothes. My producer spent the morning sanding and painting an old shampoo holder for her shower that her husband was about to chuck out. She removed the rust, sanded down the wood, painted it, bringing the old thing back to life, and she was very happy and proud of her achievement. I would love to hear if you have ever upcycled something. Chris in Southport has called on 1300 681 666 and he was able to use an old trampoline to make a kicking target for his kids. That's very clever. Then use the springs for a boat ramp. That's amazing. Joining me now is Jane Milburn. She's an upcycling enthusiast and author of Slow Clothing. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Tatiana.
Hello. Now tell me where your relationship with upcycling began.
Well, look, when I reflect on it, I think I've been doing it most of my life, particularly in relation to clothing. Mm-hmm. I was at university back in the 70s, a while ago now.
My the best time of all.
She'd given me these lovely dresses that mm-hmm. she was no longer wearing, and they were made of beautiful fibre. Back then it was rayon, I took them in and took them up and took up the sleeves, and I just loved them. I wore them till they wore out. I don't have them anymore, which is makes me a bit sad, because probably now I would keep repairing them and keep them going, whereas, you know, there's been a lot of clothing under the bridge since then.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Now, look, we've heard of slow food, but tell me about the concept of slow clothing.
Well, to me, I mean, I've been exploring this for some time now, and we've always talked about clothing in the context of fashion, and if you define fashion, it's ever-changing. Like, look in the dictionary, that's what it says. So yeah. For me, slow clothing is actually about putting what you wear in a health and well-being context. So mm-hmm. it's actually thinking more fully about what you're doing, what you're wearing, like buying more carefully. And then, you know, using lots of other techniques like making, mending, reviving, buying secondhand, repurposing, salvaging, all these resources that we've got, instead of throwing them out, thinking about how we can utilise them close to home, because it's great to be able to donate to op shops, but we're recognising now that there's a bit of a problem, particularly with the lesser quality garments.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes you're finding things that, under the guise of fast fashion, aren't you?
Yeah, well, this is the last 10 to 15 years we've been actively encouraged to sort of quickly move through garments, and just instead of holding on to them and nurturing them really to suit our own needs, and modifying them where we need to, certainly mending them, you know, we're just shuffling through, and you know, really it's it means we've got no commitment or attachment to those garments that mm-hmm. we buy cheaply, and maybe that we don't feel that comfortable in, or you know, we know that perhaps they were too cheap, you know, and what's the reason they're too cheap? Because somebody else was paying for them. So
yeah,
I think it's time for a rethink around what we wear, and so that's really what slow clothing does.
You're on ABC Radio. I'm Tatiana Clancy, and I'm joined by Jane Milburn. She's an upcycling enthusiast and author of Slow Clothing. And I would absolutely love to hear if you have upcycled something in your house, whether it be a garment or a piece of furniture. Paul in Brisbane called and said he hates throwing things out. Hi there, Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. You hate throwing anything out like me. So what have you been doing?
I'm doing a massive renovation on my house and taking it from essentially 96 square metres up to 400 square metres.
Wow, okay.
And I'm using some things you have to buy new, so much you don't. And the best example I've got is I changed my roof and totally removed the 80-year-old hardwood, and the roofers threw it down onto the ground, and I denailed it and planed it all down, and it's become beautiful feature timbers for all of the railings all around the house.
Wow. Do you find that you're using this approach with other things in your life, that you try to repurpose things?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't only save a lot of money, it's so much more rewarding.
Mm.
It just gives a better perspective for fault, I think. Some things just break and you can't repair them. So I do everything I can to avoid buying that sort of gear.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, Paul, good luck with your renovation. It sounds like it's quite a big deal.
It is. It's fun, though. It's fun. So there's lots of other things as well. Even using resurfaced gyprock, which can come off from sides from time to time. Flooring, joists, there's lots of things.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. Paul, thank you so much. And I imagine your deck is quite gorgeous.
Well, I like to think so, but I'm a little biased.
You're allowed to. Thank you so much for the call. Jane, do you find that this is something that's extended to other areas of your life?
Yeah, actually, just hearing Paul speak, it reminded me that when we did our renovation, like we've got three grown-up children now, and when they were just turning teenagers, we needed to expand the living area for them. And we used, our builder sourced an old squash court floor to match the boards that were already down there, the crow's ash flooring. And, I mean, it was just quite lovely. And it takes a bit more time and effort, so in some cases you're paying more for it, but you know, to us it was lovely to do that. And I actually rescued some boards off the back of the house that had the crazed paint on them.
Oh, right.
And turned that into a big mirror for the bathroom, and also some boards on the back veranda that were very wide. A friend made that into another mirror for another part of the place. So, yeah, I just think that's quite lovely to value what you've got. And I was astounded at how much went in the bin, and in the big bin when the builders were there. And quite horrified that I think there was at least one door that was replaced, just because it's quicker and easier to use a new door imported
yeah.
from China. And I just think there's something that really is ethically inappropriate about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to be rethinking that rather than just, oh, it's all expediency, it's all, you know, it's cheaper that way. We've got to rethink that, really, in the planet.
We, of course, had a big campaign on the ABC, the War on Waste campaign with Craig Rucastle last year that was pretty successful. But I guess to turn it from just a good idea into actually acting, I mean, I guess sometimes it really requires a bit of imagination. Does it sometimes require someone else coming and seeing your trash as their treasure?
Yeah, well, that's definitely one way things can be moved around. But I'm excited about the potential of exploring creativity through this waste. I think there's something really mindful, resourceful and exciting about reusing. So we need to see it not just as, functionary. It's actually a way to live directly in the world rather than, you know, living through other people's eyes, or, you know, instead of going to the movies, you know, and watching, you know, doing that, you know, we can actually create our own movie there by, you know, enjoying ourselves with our hands.
Because I guess it shouldn't be about deprivation. I think that's, you know, the problem, I guess, for some of us shopping addicts is, we did speak recently on the program to someone who did stop buying something for a year. I guess it's about seeing things with new eyes a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think that whole lack and thinking about abundance is another way, because in the past, and also marketers like to think that, you know, let us think that we're missing out because we're reusing. But I think you speak to anyone who's done some upcycling and it's another language, it's another way of living, and we all connect, because, you know, like hearing what Paul was doing was really exciting, and I'm just thinking I can totally get what he's doing. And some of the resources he'd be finding perhaps on the street or, you know, at a yard or something, that they, you know, they're much better quality. And they've got a story about them, which I think enriches our lives.
Have you got any practical advice for us? Especially, I'm just going to put it out there that I cannot sew to save my life, Jane. So what are some practical things we can do in our wardrobe to sort of, you know, extend the life of our clothes?
So you must be perhaps relatively young. You know, I think up to one or two generations of people have missed out on these skills. The first thing I like to say is I'm trying to really actively encourage hand stitching now because then you can do it, Tatiana.
Okay.
You can do it.
You okay.
Thread
All right.
and needle.
You believe in me, Jane. Thank you.
I had this discussion with Craig Rucastle, who launched my book in Sydney, actually, and we had a joke about how to sew on a button. And I've put that in my book because it's elementary. And I recognised when I started coming to grips with what was going on in 2013 about the excess, you know, in an op shop you'd find a shirt with no button on and it was a beautiful shirt. And I was thinking, well, that's there because either somebody couldn't be bothered sewing it on or probably more likely didn't know how.
Mm.
So I just think it's going back to the basics and getting a needle and thread and learning how to use that. And it's remarkable what you can do with hand stitching. It's very portable and you can do it while you're watching TV or, you know, hanging about, you know, waiting for, you know, waiting somewhere, you know, you can get your needle and thread out and be doing things. So that's the first thing. It's believing that you can do it and doing simple repairs and, you know, evolving from there, I guess. Particularly if you like the fabric or the feel of a garment, but you're not wearing it for some reason. It's actually thinking about the simple things you can do by perhaps changing a collar or adding another piece of lace over a collar if it's got a mark on it, or, you know, just all these little, it's adult play is what it is. It's grown up playing. That's what I say in my upcycling workshops. You know, it's not as if I've got any great solutions. I'll just turn things around and upside down and just think, well, what is a girl to do? You know, what can we do with these things? And, you know, there's actually limitless potential with it. So that's the fun part of it.
Yeah. And I guess, look, you know, I've had friends who've had clothes swap parties. I guess that's another option as well.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Definitely. That's an option to keep moving, freshening things up. I think realizing that almost all garments can be hand washed is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And hand washing is another one of those lost arts. People sort of think, oh, it takes too much time. But your garments wear much better, last much longer, go less out of shape if you hand wash them, as distinct from machine washing. Of course, you can dry clean them, but, you know, mostly there's chemicals used in that process and it costs money. So I think if you just do, you know, get into the habit of doing a bit of a hand wash once a week, and it's just literally sloshing them, rubbing any marks that might be there, spinning and hanging out on the clothesline to dry, shaking out any of the creases. So I always wear natural fibres and I never iron anything, you know. And it's not that I look that crumpled either, you know. It's just the way we care for clothes. This is an easy thing to do.
I actually had a friend in the office who spent quite an obscene amount of money fixing his coffee machine, I was hearing today. But having said that, to replace it would have cost so much more. So I guess it's worth doing your research to see how much it costs to repair things.
Yeah, and in our case, our little coffee machine that we got, my husband often goes to markets and we found a second one that was exactly the same, and so it's now becoming spare parts for our first one that we've got. So we've got one functioning one and one that needs fixing up. So I guess it's actually starting to put our resourceful hat on and seeing that as a positive thing, not necessarily because we're cheapskates, but because we actually want to find the fun in looking after things and thereby not junking and, you know, creating all this waste in the planet.
So what about you personally, Jane? Do you buy anything new or do you repurpose all of your garments? What do you do?
Oh, look, I haven't bought anything new apart from underwear since 2011, really, I'd say.
Wow.
Because you just don't need to. And I've actually, not only do I not buy anything much new except underwear, as I said, but I'm also getting to a point where I can't even buy anything secondhand because I've got so much. And and when you mend it and look after it and keep reinventing it to suit the stage that you're at, you know, they're not wearing out. So I've actually, it's kind of a little sad, but I did accept some cashmere secondhand from a friend the other day, and I'm actually wearing one of those now to mend it because, that's a special fibre. So, I do make exceptions. But, I mean, I don't know whether I'm a rarity or not. Like, I find there's a lot more people now talking about buying nothing new, a lot of people blogging about secondhand opportunities, once you bring swapping into that, I think there's a huge excess of clothing in the world, and it keeps getting added to every year. So it's time to think a bit more and be creative and imaginative in the way that we use it.
Yeah, I'm a big op shop lover, but I've found that the quality of clothes have definitely decreased in op shops as well.
Yes, yeah. I love going to the ones in country areas sometimes.
Yeah, oh, they have the best. Yeah.
And also the church run, the smaller ones, you can still make some great finds there. But, yeah, I would agree with you. And a lot of synthetic fibre clothes now, because they make up 2/3 of new garments. Like, if you look at the quantities, 2/3 of new apparel fibre is synthetic fibre. And I don't find that attractive. And I sometimes wonder whether partly why there's a lot of it in the op shop is because, people aren't really enjoying wearing it because, it doesn't breathe. And, anyway.
No, fair enough. View. Look, Slow Clothing, I should point out, will be launched in Canberra next week on Feb 7 by Richard Dennis. And some upcoming free events where people can hear you speak is at the Frank Fenner Foundation at ANU Acton Campus on the 7th of Feb at 5:30, or in Brisbane at the Queensland Craft and Design Centre on the 10th of Feb at 2 p.m. Jane, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for the chat.
Thank you very
much. I've inspired something.
You have, and I need to go and learn to sew now, Jane. That's my next. that'll be added to my New Year's resolution list.
It's a life skill.
It sure is.
It's just like home cooking. You know, it's something we need to do, and it's been undervalued in the past. So good on you. Report in later.
I will, Jane. I'll have to send you some photos. Jane Milburn is an upcycling enthusiast and author of Slow Clothing. You're on ABC Radio. It's time to delve into films next. Let's take a track now from Augie March. This is One Crowded Hour. Now should you expect to see something that you hadn't seen in some